I'm glad I listened to the Lord about this morning. Because quite frankly, when I was praying about the message today, I didn't argue with the Lord, but it was one of those, are you sure this is what you want me to do? I mean, I'll do it, but are you sure this is what you want me to do? And then, yes. And then now, as of right now, I know for sure that this is definitely the direction He wants me to go this morning. To back up and review for a few moments, just to get up to this. Many of you are aware that back in April, a revival, as it's called, broke out down in Lakeland, Florida. And there have been a lot of pros and cons about what was going on down there. And some of the things that have happened down there, some of the things that have been taught, and so on and so forth, you know, I've dealt with some of it. And I've shared with you how that this whole thing that's been going on has brought to light the shallowness of many Christians. Now, that may not include anybody in this room, and I praise God for it, but generally speaking, and I'm basing that on all of the people that had questions about what was going on down there. And you guys don't get the emails I get. I mean, I literally get emails from people all over the world with issues. And something else that you don't know is that for a lot of people, I am their de facto pastor. And they communicate with me either by phone or by email because they have nobody else that they have found yet that they feel they can trust. That's not to toot my horn. That's just to let you know what's going on. But this whole thing that's taken place down at Lakeland, as I shared, has exposed a tremendous amount of shallowness in the body of Christ because, quite frankly, a lot of questions have been asked about, well, what about this teaching and what about that teaching? What about this thing that happened? What about that thing? A lot of questions have been asked that should never have been asked, ever. Now, if someone's a baby Christian, they've just been born again, you know, a few months, a year, whatever. I mean, I can understand. They're still learning. But when you have Christians that have been born again, filled with the Holy Ghost for 10, 15, 30, 40 years, and they're asking some of the questions that have been asked, that speaks volumes about their walk in God. And I'm not trying to be critical. I'm really not. This is the facts is what they is. You know what I'm saying? Now, for those of you that may not be aware, this revival in Lakeland has ended. It's over. And it's really a mess. I mean, just without, I mean, it is a mess. It's horrible. There is an email was sent out by J. Lee Grady relative to this thing ending. And I'm going to read this, and I'm going to share some things with you. And some of what I'm going to share, it may sound like that I am being critical of him, J. Lee Grady, but I'm not. Here's the thing, guys. As I'm worshiping today and coming, you know, prior to being up here this morning and so forth, it's like just passage after passage, verse after verse, just keeps coming up, just about, you know, dealing with these kinds of things. And I'm not supposed to go over all of them or read all of them. But, you know, there came a point in time, and when you read the New Testament, you will see this. There came a point in time when Paul identified people by name as to how they had missed it. And he actually said, look, there are some people out there that have taken a turn for the worse. Now, I'm paraphrasing his words, okay? They've taken a turn for Hymenaeus, Alexander. So, I mean, he names these people. And listen, this was like 2,000 years ago. Their names are still being repeated. And there's a sermon in that somewhere. And I may try and pray it out. God, I'm going to pray until you give me the sermon on this stuff. But he named names. Today, people are afraid to do that. Are they not? Well, you might get sued. That's pathetic. Maybe you ought to get the forgiveness stuff I've just been teaching about. Just, you know, finished on. Why would you sue somebody? I mean, look, if you messed up, you messed up. Why would you sue? Why don't you ask why my name was mentioned? Why don't you see if there's any truth to what is being said? Well, anyway, people are afraid today of being sued by other Christians. We're not talking about the world. We're talking about the body of Christ. But the thing is, Paul wrote that we are to mark those that cause division among us. Paul wrote this. Now remember, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. What this means is, guys, let this sink in. God Himself, speaking from heaven by the ministry of the Holy Spirit through His servant, the Apostle Paul, has said, you identify the people that are causing the problems. Is God worried about lawsuits? No. But God said, you identify them. He said, do it. And we have been so, and I shared this before here a while back, we have been so misled about this thing of getting along with everybody and walking in love that we misinterpret the getting along, unity, walk in love message as, well, you just embrace no matter what. No, because that is a message of compromise. And it's wrong. When there's a problem in the body of Christ, it rarely ever gets dealt with. Well, anyway, let me read through this, and I'll share some things with you. And I'm going to show you some things in the Word of God right along with this. Here's what he writes. It was not supposed to end like this. Evangelist Todd Bentley had heralded the Lakeland Revival as the greatest Pentecostal outpouring since Azusa Street. From his stage in a gigantic tent in Florida, Bentley preached to thousands, bringing many of them to the stage for prayer. Many claimed to be healed of deafness, blindness, heart problems, depression, and dozens of other conditions in the Lakeland services, which ran for more than 100 consecutive nights. Bentley announced confidently that dozens of people had been raised from the dead during the revival. But this week, meaning this last 7-day period, okay? But this week, a few days after the Canadian preacher announced the end of his visits to Lakeland, he told his staff that his marriage is ending. Without blaming the pace of the revival for Bentley's personal problems, his board released a public statement saying that he and his wife, Shauna, are separating. The news shocked Bentley's adoring fans and saddened those who have questioned his credibility since the Lakeland movement erupted in April. Now, let me just share some things with you on this. All these healings and miracles, the resurrections that took place, let me tell you something right now. You can write it down if you want to, but don't forget this. The moment preachers start standing up and start rattling off all these healings, all these miracles, like it's some kind of a scorecard in a ball game, your hits, runs, and errors, the moment they start bragging like this, it's one thing to testify about what God has done, okay? But when it begins to take on the flavor of a bragging, you mark it down, they've missed God, and all the healings and the miracles, all the stuff that they've said have been taking place, they have not been taking place. I'm telling you, it hasn't happened. Because you don't have to manufacture truth. And the problem, I'm not saying that no healings have taken place. What I'm saying is when they start, you know, rattling these things off all the time, like what's going on down there, then you better take note and the little red lights better start flashing because something's amiss. What they're trying to do is lend too much legitimacy to what they're doing based upon things, healings, and so on and so forth. Remember, the church at Corinth, Paul wrote, said they came behind in no gift. The gifts of the Spirit, including healings, were manifesting in the church at Corinth. And yet, it is an example to the body of Christ of one of the worst churches that has ever existed. Because they had so many problems, they had so much division, there was so much strife, there was so much discord, and yet gifts of the Spirit were still manifesting. Well, you know, today, What happens is we look at somebody, if gifts of the Spirit are in any way manifesting, we say it all has to be of God. And God has warned us for 2,000 years in 1 Corinthians, He has warned us. That's not the case. Well, I'm not here to teach on the book of 1 Corinthians, and someday I hope the Lord leads me to, because that's a powerful study. Well, the thing is, they tried to go back and confirm a lot of these healings and these resurrections and these miracles. The bottom line is they couldn't. Because anytime you start that bragging thing, you had better be prepared for somebody to come along and start checking you out. Now listen, I've talked to you before about healings that have taken place, but you know what? I don't stand up and give you an account. When I grew up in church, over, you know where this wreath is hanging here on the wall? Okay, we used to have a board up there when I grew up. And on that board was like last week's attendance and how many in Sunday school and the offerings and the number of baptisms. I mean, you know, that was our scorecard right up there on the wall. They had one here. I mean, there used to be one here. Not with me, but there used to be one here. Now you'll notice we don't have one. I've shared with you about healings. I've prayed for people and things have happened. But, here's the deal. If I pray for people and the report comes back that they were healed, okay, I take them at their word. But I don't ask for medical records. But at the same time, I don't stand up and start bragging about, you know, all these things, like what was happening down there. I mean, you know, you just go out and you just minister. You just do what the Lord's told you to do. And when people tell you they got healed, then I can stand up and so-and-so said, when we prayed for him, she said she got healed. She said the healing manifest. Oh, okay, praise God for that. But there's a line you don't cross when you stand up and start. It's almost like you start taking the credit. You see? And they couldn't confirm so many of these outlandish claims. And healing is not outlandish, but the way some of these things were declared. I mean, it was almost too good to be true. Well, guess what? And then this whole thing about, you know, his marriage. You know, my question is this. Wasn't anybody close enough to the Bentley family to know that there were serious problems developing? I mean, are you going to tell me that all the people that Todd Bentley and his wife knew, that nobody knew there were some issues? Nobody? Absolutely not. No one? Now, personally, I would think that if Kathy and I were having problems that just, I mean, they were growing and mounting, and I mean, it was getting to the point to where we said, you know, that's it, you know, divorce, whatever. I would think somebody would know. Because there are enough people that are close enough to us, that are walking close enough in the Lord, I would think somebody would pick up on something. And you're telling me that didn't happen in this? Come on, guys, I'm not stupid. I mean, look, I don't know it all, and I'm still learning, and I'm still growing in God, but I'm not that dumb. Somebody had to know. Well, okay, well, somebody had to know, then what, you know. This thing started back in April. It's over right now, and the month of August is not ended. So in roughly 4.5 months, this thing has run its course. And I'm telling you right now, the problems that came up in their marriage, to the point of saying goodbye to each other, did not come up in the last 4.5 months. They were magnified in the last 4.5 months, but they didn't just happen in the last 4.5 months. I mean, somebody somewhere knew, and nobody did anything about it. They sat back and let that guy walk up with all of this stuff going on, a work of Satan in his life and in his marriage. I'm not calling... stop right there. No, this is not a Todd Bentley bashing, all right? But again, Hymenaeus and Alexander at one time were serving God fervently, and they walked away. Okay? Right, just keep that in mind. Here's the thing, though. They were in this tent that seated thousands, but what a lot of people seem to forget is that this whole thing started in a church. Now, it was a rather large church that seats hundreds. I don't know how big the sanctuary really is, but it seats hundreds, maybe 800-900 people, I'm not sure. It started in that church. The crowds got too big for that church to hold, so they moved into the tent. Now, what does that mean? That means the tent became an extension of what? The church. Where's the pastor? The pastor, because this thing was an extension of that church, Somewhere along the line, guys, some way, somehow, godly order was breached. That pastor was still supposed to, even though Todd Bentley was the one preaching the services, that pastor still was supposed to have a type of authority and voice in Todd Bentley's life. Now, that is one mistake that did not happen down in Pensacola at Brownsville. Steve Hill was the preacher, but John, I forget his name, the pastor at Brownsville was still the pastor. And Steve Hill was in submission to that pastor the whole time. So that was one where it didn't happen. But this thing here in Lakeland, here's what should have happened. When somebody found out, when they knew, you know, Todd and Shauna, man, something's not right. They should have gone to that pastor and they should have said, "Pastor, there are some problems." And then the pastor and this individual should have sat down with the Bentleys and said, "Look, what's going on here? We need to deal with this." And if correction was not received, the pastor had the responsibility to stand up in that tent and deal with it. That never happened. Well, they didn't want to disrupt the flow of God. Excuse me, honey, the flow's already been disrupted. Let's wake up here. You've already got a major problem.
Pastor, I have a question.
Yes, what is it?
Why are you dealing with this?
By the time the message is over, you're going to understand. I'll show you. Think of it this way. What if Todd Bentley had, they've been going strong, 100 consecutive nights. What if he had stood up on night number 20 and said, "Now folks, listen, you know, I'm married, I've shared with you, I'm married, got some kids and all this, and for the next 4 nights, brother so-and-so, brother so-and-so, brother so-and-so, they're going to be preaching, but I'm going to take some time away for my family to keep my marriage strong." What if he had done that? Can you imagine the message that would have been sent to every revival that ever pops up again? That you better make sure you've got your priorities in order. Could this whole thing, could their marriage have been salvaged? Could it have gotten to the point, if he had done this, could it have gotten to the point to where they would not have split up? I can't say yes, guaranteed, but I can say it sure would have worked a long way towards keeping them from splitting up. But he didn't do that. You know why? He put the work of God ahead of ministry to his family. Now there's a balance in this. And some people go overboard both ways. But there's a proper balance. Now let me continue. Listen, so somebody knew, man. Somebody knew that there were problems and nobody did anything. They didn't do what was right. And even if people went to the pastor blew up by not dealing with it. Somebody should have stepped in and they didn't. He continues here in the email. "I'm sad, I'm disappointed, and I'm angry. Here are a few of my many, many questions about this fiasco. Why did so many people flock to Lakeland from around the world to rally behind an evangelist who had serious credibility issues from the beginning? To put it bluntly, we're just plain gullible. From the first week of the Lakeland Revival, many discerning Christians raised questions about Bentley's beliefs and practices. They felt uneasy when he said he talked to an angel in his hotel room. They sensed something amiss when he wore a t-shirt with a skeleton on it. They wondered why a man of God would cover himself with tattoos. They were horrified when they heard him describe how he tackled a man and knocked his tooth out during prayer. But among those who jumped on the Lakeland bandwagon, discernment was discouraged. They were expected to swallow and follow. The message was clear. This is God, don't question. So before we could all say, 'Sheikabumba,' as Bentley often prayed from his pulpit, many people went home, prayed for people, and shoved them to the floor with reckless abandon, Bentley style. I blame this lack of discernment partly on raw zeal for God. We are spiritually hungry, which can be a good thing. But sometimes hungry people will eat anything. Many of us would rather watch a noisy demonstration of miracles, signs, and wonders than have a quiet Bible study. Yet we are faced today with the sad reality that our untempered zeal is a sign of immaturity. Our adolescent craving for the wild and crazy makes us do stupid things. It's way past time for us to grow up.
Amen.
However, where he says here, you know, why did so many people flock? And he writes, to put it bluntly, we're just plain gullible. Well, it isn't so much gullibility as it is outright immaturity. During all of this, people have demonstrated a huge lack of scriptural comprehension and lack of submission to the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Look at Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. I'm going to show you why people flock to this. It's here in Scripture. Now, this is just one of many, many, many verses we could look at, okay? But in Matthew chapter 7, verse 24, Jesus is speaking. And he says, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. Now, what is the rock they're building their house upon? The sayings of Jesus, okay? And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Now basically what you've seen in all of this down there in Lakeland is the fact that some houses have fallen. And the reason they have fallen is because they were not built upon the words of God. They were built upon precepts and concepts figuratively established through the Word of God, but not literally. And so we've seen, this has come to light. God has said in His Word that things are will come to light, they will be shown, they will be revealed, all right? The Bible says, be sure your sin will find you out, all right? Well, be sure your error will find you out. Fits right in there. Look in Matthew chapter 16. In verse 13, Jesus says, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? They said, some say thou art John the Baptist, some Elijah, others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. Okay, what rock? Revelation that comes from the Father. Upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. That phrase, the gates of hell, that's talking about the leadership, the authority, and the structure of hell. Whatever it is that the devil has to offer will not prevail against it. What have we seen demonstrated here in Lakeland? We have seen a prevailing of the work of the enemy within the church. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. These keys come from the revelation of God through His Word by the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And He says, look, I'll give you the keys how to be successful in this life by operating in my kingdom, but the thing is, it's going to come revelation from me, not from men. It's going to come, the revelation, through the words of my Son, what we put here, what is established here in my Word. That's how it's going to come. No other way. Well, you know, he writes here in this email how that, you know, I blame this lack of discernment partly on raw zeal for God. Well, thousands and thousands of Christians reveal that they're seeking more of the supernatural and demonstrative than they are spiritual maturity in the midst of all of this. When you talk about this zeal, you know, well, all they want the spectacular. That's what they're after. And they will defend anything where spectacular is manifesting and the name of Jesus is added to it. They don't care what it is. See, you've got to understand. Down at Lakeland, things that were happening, people were being injured during prayer. And they called it God, and the masses agreed. Wake up. This is not of God. You know, we talked about this before, but can you truly see Jesus knocking somebody's teeth out just to get them healed? No. No. And yet, people defended this stuff. And they said, one pastor said, revival can be messy. What does that mean? And I'm not going to tell you who said that, because if I did, some of you would say, I've been in his church. And I'm not joking. Some of you would say, I know him. What does revival gets messy means? Well, seriously, I do not understand what that means. God is not the author of confusion. So what is he then? He's the God of order. Things can tend to get out of hand. I know that. But when somebody is operating in godly order, guess what? Order will get restored. It's not a problem. Though the blame might be in part due to raw zeal for God, the truth is that a great majority of the blame, now listen to this, a great majority of the blame must be laid at the feet of the pastors of the churches these people attend. It goes right back to the pastors in the pulpits. As shepherds, they either have not properly fed their congregations from the table of the Lord, or the people caught up in the frenzy of the Lakeland event have chosen to ignore what they have been taught. I choose the former, because there are too many thousands upon thousands upon tens of thousands of people over the 4.5 months that traveled from all corners of the country and the world that attended this thing, and you can't convince me that all of them go to churches where the truth is being taught. No way. The blame for a lot of this goes right back to the pastors, because if the pastors had been doing their job, the majority of the people that went to this thing wouldn't have gone to this thing, because they would have understood how to discern from God's word what is and is not truth. The pastors, and God has given warnings in the Old Testament about the pastors, prophetically speaking about what was to come, and the pastors that do not feed from the table of the Lord. Well, he continues here. He says, why didn't anyone in Lakeland denounce the favorable comments Bentley made about William Branham? How many of you ever heard of William Branham? Okay. This one baffles me. Branham embraced horrible deception near the end of his ministry before he died in 1965, and he did. He didn't start out that way, but that's where he ended up. He claimed that he was the reincarnation of Elijah, and his strange doctrines are still embraced by a cult-like following today, and that is true. There are people today, I don't know what they call themselves, but they are still hanging on to these things of the wrong stuff that Branham taught. And for a while, a lot of them met, after his death in 65, a lot of them met every year on the date of his birth, believing he was going to rise from the dead. When Bentley announced to the world that the same angel that ushered in the 1950s healing revival had come to Lakeland, the entire audience should have run for the exits. Why didn't anyone correct this error from the pulpit? Now, let me interject this. Not everything that Branham did was wrong, guys. We're not going to throw the baby out with the bathwater. Read about the ministry of William Branham. So much of this, I'll say it like this, just for emphasis' sake. 90% of what he did in his ministry was right on target. That 10% toward the end, and people were sent and warned him, but he refused to heed the warnings. Well, anyway, he says, why didn't anyone correct this error from the pulpit? Kind of hard to correct it when there's only one person up there and nobody else is exercising authority. Godly leaders are supposed to protect the sheep from heresy, not spoon-feed deception to them. Only God knows how far this poison traveled from Lakeland to take root elsewhere. May God forgive us for allowing His word to be so flippantly contaminated. A prominent Pentecostal evangelist called me this week after Bentley's news hit the fan. He said to me, I'm now convinced that a large segment of the charismatic church will follow the Antichrist when he shows up because they have no discernment. Ouch. Hopefully we'll learn our lesson this time and apply the necessary caution when an imposter shows up. We won't, and I'll show it to you from Scripture. Why did God TV, how many of you know that the services at Lakeland were being broadcast on the internet website, God TV? So you could lock on, you could watch them live as they were happening. Why did God TV tell people that, quote, any criticism of Todd Bentley is demonic, end quote? This ridiculous statement was actually made on one of God TV's pre-shows. In fact, the network's hosts also warned listeners that if they listened to criticism of Bentley, they could lose their healings. This is cultic manipulation at its worst. The Bible tells us that the Bereans were notable believers because they studied the scriptures daily to see whether these things were so. Acts 17:11. Yet in the case of Lakeland, honest intellectual inquiry was viewed as a sign of weakness. People were expected to jump first and then open their eyes. Just because we believe in the power of the Holy Spirit does not mean we check our brains at the church door. We are commanded to test the spirits. Jesus wants us to love Him with our hearts and our minds. Because of the Lakeland scandal, there may be large numbers of people who feel they've been burned by Bentley. Some may give up on church and join the growing ranks of bitter, disenfranchised Christians. Others may suffer total spiritual shipwreck. This could have been avoided if leaders had been more vocal about their objections and urged people to evaluate spiritual experiences through the filter of God's Word. Excuse me, but I did that? The problem's not here. I'm not the only one. You guys know that. Okay, now listen to this. This whole thing, you know, why? Where were the people trying to correct this? Where were the voices? I mean, where were they? Well, the voices of correction were hidden, rebuked, ignored, or silenced. That's basically what it comes down to. How many people outside this ministry heard me say anything about this? Heard any of my warnings? No one. Likewise, you say, well, yeah, but no, there's no yeah, but Satan worked very hard to suppress the criticism. You need to understand that. Worked very hard. Well, anyway, people didn't want to be confronted with or held accountable to Scripture. Consider Matthew 24. Remember when the pastor shared, he called in and said, you know, I'm concerned now that many Christians are going to follow the Antichrist. A while back, not too long ago, I shared with you, looking here, Matthew 24. You're in Matthew. Just go ahead and turn over there. I'm not going to reteach all of this. Just point it out. You can study it later. In Matthew 24, with Jesus in verse 3, he's on the Mount of Olives. His disciples come to him, and they're asking a question. And they ask him, what will be the sign of these things? All the things that Jesus has been talking about. And it says, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? So what are they talking about? They're talking about us 2,000 years later. You see that? Because the end of the world hasn't come yet, right? Now, Jesus answered, and I want you to look at this. The first thing he says is, take heed that no man deceive you. So in other words, the number one, I've shared this, the number one sign of his return and the end of the world is an increase of deception in the body of Christ. That is the number one sign. It is not wars, rumors of wars, plagues, pestilence, death, and all this other stuff. It is an increase of deception in the body of Christ. And later on in verse 24, he says, there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that, if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Meaning, listen, you can be the very elect. You can be, you know, the name above the preachers, you know, the preacher's preacher, the apostle's apostle, or whatever it is. But he's warning you right here that it doesn't matter who you are in the body of Christ, you have the potential to be deceived. And if there's something, if the door is open in your life for this deception, Jesus Christ is warning, and he's saying Satan's going to walk in with his deception. He's saying you better watch out. This is why this guy's right. There are people who are going to follow the Antichrist because of all the stuff that he's going to do, and it's going to be deception, and they are going to just grab a hold of it, swallow it, hook, line, and sinker. And anybody who criticizes is going to be criticized. We have seen it with this event right here. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 4. And take just the very first verse, 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to the seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Again, he is not talking about the lost in this. He's talking about the body of Christ who are departing from truth. Why? They're giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. And I shared with you the other day how that part of what this means there, that the seducing spirits are these angelic manifestations. They're devils masquerading as angels of light. These angelic manifestations that are passing along these damnable heresies that the people that hear them are grabbing a hold, and then they come back to the pulpits and say, the angel of the Lord told me this. And some of these angels have been given names. And again, I shared with you from Scripture. Only one place in all of Scripture did an angel identify himself by name. And there are no references to angels in the feminine anywhere in the New Testament. And yet, in spite of what is in God's Word, people jumped on this Lakeland bandwagon and the Todd Bentley Ministry bandwagon, run one right after the other. Now, listen, if Todd Bentley called me tomorrow and said, look, can we talk? I would talk with him and I'd do everything I can to help the guy. This is not personal. And it wasn't personal when Paul wrote about Alexander and Hymenaeus. He was concerned about the body of Christ. And that's what this is about. Look in 2 Timothy chapter 4. In verse 3, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. He's talking about people that are facing the truth, but because of the seducing spirits and the doctrines of devils, they're turning away from it, and they're facing in the other direction. He's talking about Christians here. Christians. Hopefully, no one hearing this will fall into this. But it's happening. Right now, in front of your eyes, right now in the world, this is coming to pass. It's taking place. Additionally, when he writes in here about, you know, where were the leaders? Why didn't the leaders say anything? Well, if the majority of the leaders couldn't tell the difference between what was and was not of God, how can they sound the alarm and warn the people? If the leaders don't know, how can they tell anybody? You say, well, bless God, they shouldn't have been leaders then. Hey, it's too late. And I can tell you this, God didn't make them leaders. Because the moment that somebody starts veering off the path of truth, God's going to do his part. And he will, figuratively speaking, lift his hand off that person. That doesn't mean the body of Christ will stop receiving. It just means that God is no longer moving the way that people think God is moving in that person's ministry. Let me continue with the email. Why did a group of respected ministers lay hands on Bentley on June 23rd and publicly ordain him? Did they know of his personal problems? No. It should be more than that. This isn't just about his personal problems. It's about the doctrinal error and the weird behavior as well. Even if they didn't know about the marriage issues, the other stuff, they did know. I'll guarantee you they did know. This controversial ceremony was organized by Peter Wagner, who felt that one of Bentley's greatest needs was proper spiritual covering. Well, amen. I agree with that. He asked California pastors Che An and Bill Johnson, along with Canadian pastor John Arnott, to lay hands on Bentley and bring him under their care. Bentley certainly needs such covering. No one in ministry today should be out on their own, living in isolation without checks, balances, and wise counsel. It was commendable that Wagner reached out to Bentley and that Bentley acknowledged his need for spiritual fathers by agreeing to submit to the process. The question remains, however, whether it was wise to commend Bentley during a televised commissioning service that at times seemed more like a king's coronation. Some of you probably saw that. It was on God TV and it's also on YouTube. Hey, a bunch of this stuff is on YouTube, so nobody can deny it. In hindsight, we can all see that it would have been better to take Bentley into a back room and talk about his personal issues. The Bible tells us that ordination of a minister is a sober responsibility. Paul wrote, "Do not lay hands upon anyone too hastily and thereby share responsibility for the sins of others." We might be tempted to rush the process, but the apostle warned against fast-tracking ordination. And he said that those who commission a minister who is not ready for the job will bear some of the blame for his failures. I trust that Wagner, Ahn, Johnson, and Arnott didn't know of Bentley's problems before they ordained him. Stop. They may not have known about the marriage things, but they knew about the other stuff. They knew. They knew about the doctrine. They knew about the angel stuff. They knew it. And I'm not trying to be mean to these guys either, but... And he says, I trust that they knew ahead of time. And listen to this. I'm sure they were saddened by the events of this week and are reaching out to Bentley and his wife to promote healing and restoration. Probably so. But he continues here and says, but I believe that they, along with Bentley and the owners of God TV, owe the body of Christ a forthright public apology for thrusting Bentley's ministry into the spotlight prematurely. Perhaps such an apology should be aired on God TV. I want to see that. Okay, now, if the people who are, now he making reference here to these people that are supposed to be helping Todd Bentley and his wife, how can they do this if they're not ready themselves? The very fact that numerous ministries publicly endorsed what was happening should cause believers to sit up and take notice. Look in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And we beseech, verse 12, and we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you. So, I mean, whether they're authorities in your life or whatever, know them. Meaning, you need to know who they are. You need to know what they believe. You need to know what they teach. You need, and that is across the board. That did not happen down there. Not correctly. Here's the thing. These guys, Peter Wagner and the rest of them that agreed to do this, they weren't the only ones on the platform that night either when this thing was, this commissioning service. They threw their full endorsement behind Todd Bentley and everything that was going on down there, the whole Lakeland issue. They blessed the whole thing, okay? Now, it says here to know those that labor among you. They knew him, okay? And they knew what he taught, and they knew what he was doing, and they knew of his past. They knew. They've said so. And they still did this. What does it tell you about them? It's not, if they were here today, this is not a criticism of them, but I'm just telling, what does it say? What does it reveal about their ministries? In 1 Timothy chapter 5, look here in verse 22. It says, lay hands suddenly on no man, neither be partaker of other men's sins, keep thyself pure. This is talking about laying hands on people and commissioning them for ministry, setting them forth into ministry. You know, here in this ministry, over the years, we've had services where people have received a license, a ministry license, or they have received ordination here in this ministry. Now, when that happens, for all the people to whom that has happened, that is not a promotion into a place of title in this ministry or in this church. That is not a promotion into an office, if you will. Well, I'm talking about, you know, well, that's the pastor's office and that's the worship leader's office. It's not a promotion into any, it is not a promotion into a title. It is simply a recognition of the call of that individual, the call that God has upon that individual's life. It's not a promotion to a staff position or anything. And some of the people that have received these licenses and ordinations are a part of this church. Some are not a part of this church, but it's not a promotion into leadership in the ministry. Not this specific ministry. Every person that I have ever set forth into a, received a license or an ordination, every one of them, I have received I either know them or I have received enough testimony from their pastors that I trust, that I know, that they are ready for this step. But I have not laid hands suddenly on anybody. And I'll tell you what you don't know. There are people out there who have expressed somewhat of a disappointment in me that I just won't license them. That I just won't ordain them for ministry. But I'm called, Brother Martin, but I'm called. Well, praise God, prove it. Well, I am proving it, Brother Martin. I love Jesus. Well, praise God, we all love Jesus. What is your ministry? And there are times where I've asked people, what is your ministry calling? They don't have a clue. Well, I like to go into the prisons and minister. Okay, what's your ministry calling? I just told you, Brother Martin, I like to go to the prisons and minister. No, you told me what you like to do. You did not tell me what is your... Now, that person's not ready. I don't care what they say. They do not know what their calling is. And I'm supposed to set them forth? Give me a break. There's no way. Look in 2 John chapter 1. There's only one chapter, so you shouldn't miss it. Verse 7. Look here. For many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, and this is a deceiver and an antichrist. Look not to yourselves, or look to yourselves, that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. What's he talking about in verse 8? He's talking about don't get off the path and follow the deceivers and end up losing your reward and missing out with God. Verse 9, whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you, and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. Now what's this talking about? This is an umbrella covering all those who preach anything that does not line up with God's word. And God is telling us through John, God is giving us this instruction. He says you do not, look right here. In verse 10, he says you do not bid him Godspeed. You say, well, what in the world does that mean? That means you do not speak a blessing into that person's ministry. You do not bless that person's ministry financially or any other way. You do not endorse that individual's ministry, that individual's church, that individual's anything. You do not speak anything favorable about that person's ministry. You do not do anything that would lend credence to what that person is doing in the eyes of the rest of the body of Christ. That is what that means, that you do not wish them Godspeed. And what was happening down in Lakeland, you had people wishing Godspeed upon everything that was going on down there, and they missed God terribly. The harsh truth is this. The ministry of every apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher who supported, endorsed, and gave their blessings to what was going on down there in Lakeland should be called into question. Every pastor, every apostle, every prophet, every evangelist, every single Christian, all of them who spoke their blessings and endorsement of what was going on down there in Lakeland. Listen, I praise God for the genuine salvations and I praise God for the genuine healings down there. I'm not dismissing that at all. But the people that stood up and said, this is really of God, this is truly of God, this is a move of God, this is the revival, and so on and so forth. Every one of them, I don't care how big their church is, how small, how big their ministry, how small, every one of them, their ministries should be called into question. All of them. They have severely missed God and were pointing their people in the direction of a work heavily influenced by seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. It's exactly what they were doing. They were deceived and they were pointing people in they were leading people in the direction of the deception. They should not be asked to step into a pulpit until they can explain why they missed it, what they are doing to avoid missing it again, and explain how they have not been missing it with other things. Until they can account for their ministry and how they have blown it so badly. Listen, this didn't just happen overnight. I'll explain to you in just a few minutes. This is especially true of the pastors who gave their endorsement. They were pointing the congregation toward the table of Satan instead of the table of the Lord. Every person in those churches should intently seek God about leaving those churches. Every one of those pastors, as well as the apostles, prophets, evangelists, and teachers, needs to step down from active ministry for a seeking time with God to find out how they missed it so terribly. Every one of them, no exception. And I don't care who gets upset with me about this. You show me in God's Word where the Apostle Paul would give his blessings on somebody going through all this stuff that happened down there in Lakeland. He would not do it, and you guys know he wouldn't do it. There's no way. These people need to step down, and they need to step down now, and they need to get their act together with God. The warning is in Matthew 24. Well, you know that's not going to happen. Keep in mind that as these ministers were endorsing Todd Bentley in Lakeland, they were endorsing his ministry and doctrine. This is serious. You can say what you want, but there is no way you can take Todd Bentley and have him walk the dusty roads of Galilee with the Apostle Paul, and have the Apostle Paul look at him and say, well, Todd, tonight's your night. You minister here with me in Ephesus. You minister tonight with me in Philippi. There's no way. By the way, all the tattoos.
You got something against tattoos?
One of the reasons that he got, this is documented, you can look it up. One of the reasons he got a lot of those tattoos, he got depressed one day. And went and got a bunch of tattoos to make himself feel better. Excuse me. What? Where was God in this? You know what he felt after all the tattoos? Pain. And his wallet was a little bit lighter. The problem is that probably all of the people who attended these services and all of the ministers who endorsed what was happening will more than likely just go on in life and never give a second thought as to why they were so easily pulled into this deception. That is exactly what's going to happen, guys. They're not even going to think about it. They'll just wait for the next spectacular and jump on that bandwagon. Now listen to me. Listen. You can get mad at me. You can throw things at me. You can write me mean, nasty letters. Send me mean, nasty emails. You won't be the first, trust me. But I'm telling you right now, if you go to a church where the pastor jumped on this bandwagon 100%, doggone it, you better get before God and find out how soon He wants you out of that church. God gave us warnings about this, like the last few years, about people hanging around and staying in churches that are leading people down a path of deception. And Brother Martin, you shouldn't say things like that. That's not very loving. Excuse me. Did God send people into a church to eat ragweed? No. Where are the green pastures? Where are the still waters? That's what's supposed to be taking place in the churches. And if it's not going on, why on God's green earth are you still there? What are you doing to yourself? And people don't care. Listen, a bunch of you know this by now, but for those of you that don't know, this is exactly why a lot of people won't come to this church, is because they think I'm too much of an old boogerhead. Well, praise God, I am. That's because, doggone it, I got to stand accountable before Jesus Christ on the day of judgment. And if you don't like me for it, I don't care. I'm not mad at you. I'm not. I'll help you change your flat tire if I see you. You understand what I'm saying? It's not a personal issue. But Paul didn't stand for it. Oh, foolish Galatians. Well, for crying out loud. Oh, foolish body of Christ across this planet. Who has bewitched you? That's what it says. He continues. Can anything good come out of this? That depends on how people respond. If the men assigned to oversee Bentley offer loving but firm correction, and if Bentley responds humbly to the process by stepping out of ministry for a season of rehabilitation, we could witness a healthy case of church discipline play out the way it's supposed to. If all those who were so eager to promote Bentley now rush just as fast to repent for their errors in judgment, then the rest of us could breathe a huge sigh of relief and the credibility of our movement could be restored. I still believe that God desires to visit our nation in supernatural power. I know He wants to heal multitudes, and I will continue praying for a healing revival to sweep across the United States. But we must contend for the genuine, not an imitation. True revival will be accompanied by brokenness, humility, reverence, and repentance, not the arrogance, showmanship, and empty hype that often was on display at Lakeland. We are weathering an unprecedented season of moral failure and spiritual compromise in our nation today. I urge everyone in the charismatic world to pray for Bentley, his wife Shauna, his three young children, Bentley's ministry staff, and the men and women who serve as his counselors and advisors. Let's pray that God will turn this embarrassing debacle into an opportunity for miraculous restoration. Well, if the people who are supposed to oversee Todd are the ones who endorsed and supported Lakeland, then how can their judgment be trusted? How can they help to restore him? How? They can't. Not fully. Not fully. What happened in... Now listen to this. Listen closely to this. I'm going to share with you now why this whole thing with Lakeland happened. Now, it's just part of the reason, but you better get a hold of this. What happened in Lakeland is just the beginning. It is going to get worse. Ministers of renown, those who seem to be somewhat among us, jumped on the Todd Bentley Lakeland bandwagon and led tens of thousands of Christians astray. Mark it down. This is not the last we will hear of well-known ministers making such errors. What happened in Lakeland was not a surprise. And the Lord has shown me this as clear as anything. In the spirit, Satan has been planning this move for a long time. He has been preparing those he could deceive for years. Lakeland was the fruit of the seeds he has sown for a long time. Lakeland, I see Lakeland as a test run by the devil. He was paying close attention to gauge how to make his next move. I'm telling you right now, this is what happened. He took notes. He watched this. He saw the reaction. The next time, it's going to be a little bit different. It may not come through somebody with a bunch of tattoos. It'll come through somebody who will be listening to the seducing spirits and the doctrines of devils. You've got to understand, as I on the inside, I'm seeing this thing. And it's like this has been going on now for a long time. These ministers that jumped on the bandwagon, Satan's been working on them, preparing them to do this. And it should cause us to sit back and say, now, wait a minute. I've been listening to you now for like 8 years. I've been getting your prophecies for 12 years. I've been buying your books and so forth. And 90% of whoever that person is may be right on target, but I am telling you right now, the seeds of the error had been sown all these years. What we saw was just the fruit. It was like the test run. It's going to get worse. Here's the thing. We focus on, okay, now in this letter by J. Lee Grady, when he's talking about, you know, Todd and restoration and so forth, there's not really a whole lot of mention as far as restoration in doctrine. It's restoration with his wife, okay? Now I want you guys to now think with me for a moment. When it comes to errors in the body of Christ by ministers, we get all fired up if they commit adultery, don't we? Why are we not as fired up when they talk about these weird angelic visitations? Why are we not even more fired up when they slam people around during their prayers? Why does that not bother us as much? Let me ask you a question. Preacher number one, his doctrine's right on, man. His doctrine is not goofy. He's right on. But he makes a wrong choice one day with his secretary, and he commits adultery. Preacher number two, he has never cheated on his wife. He's not into pornography, does not do drugs, does not do alcohol. But he beats, slams, kicks, and smashes people in prayer lines. He talks about having visitations from lady angels. And all other goofy stuff is going on. But bless God, he's faithful to his wife. Out of those two, who do you think the body of Christ is going to lean toward the most? A second preacher. Well, I know he's a little weird, but by golly, he's faithful to his wife. This may sound kind of weird, but in many cases it'll be easier to restore an adulterer than it will be somebody who's way off on their doctrine. Because they can't find sin in their life that would open the door for the deception. This is just the beginning. God's given us a warning in 1 John chapter 2. He talks about, you can read 1 John chapter 2 verses 18 through 28, but he talks about how that he's giving us a warning concerning those who would seduce us. He said there are those who were a part of us at one time, but they went out from us. They were not really a part of us, meaning they separated themselves with their doctrine to promote themselves. And I'm giving you the summary of this passage. And John is saying, avoid them, stay away from them. He says, you have an anointing that abides within. And he's talking about when you are filled with the Holy Spirit brings an anointing of truth. And he says, this truth will not lead you into deception. And he says, if you rely on this truth, meaning that rely on the ministry of the Holy Spirit, he's going to be able to help you guard against this deception and guard against being led astray. You know, Todd Bentley, it happened down there. He was questioned about praying in tongues, speaking in tongues. And he commented about how that I can speak in tongues like anybody else, and he rattled off a few Shandais. He says, people are upset with me because they don't think I speak in tongues enough. And essentially what he was doing was criticizing the message of praying in tongues and what it can do for you. What does that mean? It means he doesn't understand. Well, I mean, I didn't understand at one time either, guys. And I would have criticized too, okay? But I wasn't on a platform in front of tens of thousands of people leading them down the wrong path. And that's what he was doing. And again, you know, Todd, if you hear this, you know, you're my brother in Christ. We're going to spend eternity in heaven together. This is not a personal vendetta. It's not. But when somebody stands up and gets promoted like this, and these kind of things happen, man, the body of Christ, we've got to protect ourselves. And this is going to happen again. Sooner or later, some way, shape, or form. Now listen, guys, don't cop an attitude toward Todd Bentley, all right? Pray for him. What you saw was a man that God can use. He's got a zeal for God, okay? He does. We're not questioning that. He wants to serve God. That's obvious. So we need to pray for him because God will use him mightily in front of the masses. He has an ability to attract a lot of people to the services. God wants to use him, and we should pray for him. Do not walk in unforgiveness toward him. Don't. Pray for him. And pray for all the rest of these people. They are our brothers and sisters in Christ. Now, this morning, for those of you that are listening to this, here at our church, Grace Christian Center, on Sunday mornings, from 9:15 until 10 o'clock, we have a time of worship before the main service. And and I'm telling you, the presence of God at times is just so incredibly thick in the fellowship hall when we do this. It's just powerful. And occasionally, prophetic words come forth when that worship is over. Well, today was one of those days. And as we were worshiping the Lord, I began to hear this word come forth. And at first, I was hesitant to give it because I wanted to talk to the Lord some more about it on the inside to make sure this is really him or it just wasn't an emotional response from me. But as I, you know, we continue worshiping and I'm talking to him on the inside, he keeps giving me some more of this word and I realize, okay, this is not my emotions. There's no way I could emotionally produce all of this. We're going to close this this message out by playing that for you because I know many of you weren't there and especially those of you listening to this someplace else, there's no way you could have been here to hear this. And this fits in perfectly with what I shared with you today. So go ahead and play that.
I say unto you this day, there is a time of testing that is rising up within my church. This testing is not from me, but it is a testing that is being released from the enemy. I will explain to you what I mean. As there has been an increase of truth, a revival of doctrine, as you have heard it said, a revival of doctrine and truth in my church, plans have also been laid for a release of incredible, incredible deception. I would have you think about those who swim on the ocean and how they are warned that there are undercurrents. And even though part of the water is coming into the shore, there are undercurrents under the surface that would take people out into the deep. And you have all heard stories of those who have been caught in the undercurrents and have been swept out into the deep waters and have drowned. This is the image of what is happening right now in the church. Satan is releasing great undercurrents of deception. And these undercurrents are flowing underneath the surface of what seems to be okay and seems to be all right in my church. But these undercurrents of deception are deadly, they are destructive, and some are going to be carried off into eternal destruction because they have not guarded themselves and taken heed to the warnings that have been coming forth in my church. These undercurrents of deception look and feel as though they are the truth, just like the undercurrents of the water look and feel just like the water that is on the surface. And yet, there is a difference in the direction that these waters are flowing. Just like there is a difference in the direction that the deception is flowing. But it is labeled with the name of my son Jesus. It is labeled with things from Scripture that are turned into great deception because they have been greatly misused. I am speaking to you this day and telling you that this is a time of testing that is rising up within my church. I am not the one releasing the deception, but this is happening because the door has been left open in my church for this deception to take place. So many in my church have felt as though when Satan moves, it will be obvious. And there are times it is very obvious when he moves. But you must understand that those who walk into a well-lit room with their eyes covered will still walk into the walls. Just like in my church, great amounts of truth and light can be released. And yet if people on purpose have their eyes covered and refuse to look at the light that I am shining, they will walk into the deception that Satan has released. And this is increasing. Because just as I am finding vessels in my church to release my truth, Satan is finding vessels within my church through whom he can release this deception. And I am saying to you this day, you must guard your heart and you must protect yourself, for this is increasing and it is becoming more and more dangerous. I have warned about this in my word many times over, and many people through false doctrine have felt as though no one in the church would be impacted by these last days' deception that lead up to the Antichrist. But I say unto you, my church, many in my church, have been greatly deceived into believing this. For you see, in my word I have said that there must first come a great falling away before the worst comes to pass. Many in my church don't understand what that means. I will tell you that this means there are many in my church who are going to fall away from truth and turn away from that which I am trying to do in their lives. I am not speaking of the lost turning away from truth, for they have no truth to turn away from. They aren't even a part of my church. What I am saying is there is a great wave of deception as an undercurrent flowing underneath everything that seems to be okay and all right. And this great wave of deception as an undercurrent is working even now to sweep many into the deep waters of their destruction. And I am telling you this day, guard yourselves. Guard yourselves mightily against this. Hear me. Hear me now. There is no one presently listening to these words as I speak them who are not immune to this deception. This is why you must guard your heart. And there are those who will hear these words after they have been recorded, none of whom is immune to this deception. No one in my church is immune to it. This is why I have said, guard your heart. For if you guard your heart, you can build up an immunity. But in and of yourself, you are helpless to guard yourself against it because of what has happened throughout history in my church. The deceptions that have been released throughout the years should serve as a warning to you that even you are potentially deceived. However, I say unto you, if you apply these things that I tell you, these things that I have warned you about in my word, if you will guard your heart, you can build up an immunity because this immunity will be built up within you by the ministry of my Holy Spirit. Remember what I said. He will lead and guide you into all truth. And the truth will guard you against the deception. So therefore, hear my words this day. A great testing has begun in my church. I am not the one testing you, for I already know your heart. But this testing is your enemy doing what he can to pull you away. So listen closely to me. Receive from me and from me alone. And let me work my mighty work in you by the ministry of my Holy Spirit. And I will be able to build up within you a guard. I will be able to build up within you a protection. I will be able to build up in you greater and greater immunity to the deception that has been released. It is going to increase. It saddens my heart, but I say unto you, it is my pleasure to work in you to protect you. So do these things, and let me work my divine perfect work in your life, and the day will come when you will stand before my throne as a spotless bride, and you will worship me for all eternity, and for all eternity we will fellowship together.
Praise God. It's powerful. Very powerful. And the thing is, will we take it to heart? So you got to remember, guys, this applies to me as well. I am not separate from this. And that's why I covet your prayers. And I appreciate your prayers for me. This, you know, this whole thing is a part of what God is doing in our midst, but also in the body of Christ, to help us be prepared for what is coming. It's easy when somebody walks up and hands you a bottle, and the bottle is labeled poison, and they ask you to drink it. Well, you know better. But, you know the way to get a dog to eat poison? Wrap it in a steak. And a lot of this deception is going to be wrapped in a steak, man. It's going to look good and smell good. It's going to be very tempting. This is maybe why we're supposed to pray before we eat. Hallelujah.